Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. This morning, once again, and for the last time, we return to the text in Isaiah chapter 35, where we read, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, dear friends in Christ, it sometimes happens in life, not often, but occasionally, that deep sorrow is suddenly and dramatically replaced by joy. If you're a football fan, you might have witnessed that phenomenon take place this past wild card weekend. An NFL record was set when three different games were decided in the last 2 minutes of play by an unlikely come-from-behind victory. Fans of the Rams, the Bears, and the Buffalo Bills experienced the thrill you can get when impending doom is suddenly replaced with wild rejoicing. You, my Christian friends, are going to have that experience yourself one day. We've been talking about the great day of the Lord, the day when the ransomed of the Lord will return. That's a time, as we've seen, when strength will replace weakness, when a lush garden will replace a desert wasteland. But perhaps most encouraging is Scripture's promise that when the ransomed of the Lord return, then joy and gladness will replace sorrow and sighing. Isaiah says, "They shall come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Zion, as you know, is another name for Jerusalem. The picture that the prophet uses here is a bit strange to our ears, but it would not have seemed strange to contemporary Jewish people, the people of Judah to whom Isaiah was speaking. It would sound quite familiar to them because three times a year, at the time of the three major Jewish festivals, all the people from the surrounding villages and towns would make the journey up to Jerusalem to worship on the temple. Jerusalem sits at the top of a hill, so on this journey, everyone would be making their way slowly uphill. Often whole communities would travel together, joyfully singing hymns of praise as they got closer and closer to the holy city. That's the way it will be for us, the ransomed of the Lord, as we travel to our heavenly Zion. "A highway shall be there," says the prophet, "and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness." We'll walk on that road, you and I, through a countryside renewed and beautiful. We will come to Zion with singing and everlasting joy on our heads, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a contrast that is with our experience in life in this world so often, isn't it? One writer pointed out that life in this world can sometimes seem like just the opposite of that, not a joyful highway, but rather a painful obstacle course. And it's true, isn't it? Sometimes you feel like you just are getting over one difficult or painful episode in your life, and you're thinking, "Wow, am I glad that's over?" And then something else comes along to cause you difficulty, something to give you sighing and grief and sleepless nights. And if we're honest, don't we often have to admit that it's our own mistakes and failures and our own sinfulness that often bring sorrows like that into our lives? How sorrowful is the knowledge of our own sins and our failures, our dissatisfaction with the way God orders events in our lives, our complaining about God's way, our insistence on doing our own way, things our own way. We can almost feel how heavy and grief-stricken the psalmist must have felt when he wrote, "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me." But good news. Jesus died to give you relief from that sorrow and that sighing. His love for you carried him all the way down the road of sorrows to the cross of Calvary, where he received the prints of the nails in his hands and feet. Those nail prints truly were wounds of love. They were the evidence of the everlasting love of God for lost mankind, a love that would stop at nothing in order to redeem lost sinners like you and me. Have you ever wondered what they look like, those wounds? We're going to find out. We'll find out one day, because we're going to see them when we meet our Savior face to face in the beautiful holy city. Can you imagine that? In a favorite hymn, we sing, "Those dear tokens of his passion still his dazzling body bears, cause of endless exaltation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture gaze we on those glorious scars." In heaven, Isaiah says, we shall obtain joy and gladness. And the word to obtain there is a very descriptive term as well. It means to pursue and overtake it. Do you ever wonder why people keep talking about the pursuit of happiness? It's because in this life, a lot of people are always pursuing happiness, but never seeming to catch up to it. Well, one day you and I are finally going to catch up to that great joy that our hearts have been yearning for all along. What C.S. Lewis was talking about when he said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." We were made for another world. And by faith in Jesus, that's exactly where we're headed right now. There we will obtain joy and gladness. There we'll leave sin and every sorrow miles behind us. And we'll find true everlasting happiness in the presence of our dear Lord Jesus himself. The fairy tales that we read as youngsters often ended with the familiar cliche, "and they lived happily ever after." As we grew up, though, we discovered why they call those stories fairy tales. It's because in this world, people don't usually live happily ever after, and even the most blessed lives are marked with plenty of sorrow and suffering. But one day, all of that's going to change. When the ransomed of the Lord return, then strength will replace weakness, a lush garden will replace desert wasteland, and joy and gladness will replace sorrow and sighing. And then, by the grace of God, we will truly live happily ever after. Amen. We conclude with stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn 410.